bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by Wired Tree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the After Things podcast. I'm Bryce Castillo, your host, as always, and as it always has ever, forever been. Joined as always by Justin Robert
Forever Young. And ever, amen.
Hello, Bryce.
And Brian Brushwood.
Hey, beautiful people.
So, After Things is the show where we talk about creativity, working online, et cetera, et cetera. I wanted to bring up, this is a short topic today, Byte has launched.
B-Y-T-E. Yeah, I had not heard anything about this. And here's all I know about the story, and you could correct me on this. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, there was Vine, and it was good. The idea of six-second videos that looped was a joy for many, many people.
Oh, yeah.
Then Vine got purchased by Twitter, and in Twitter's infinite wisdom, it decided to ruin everything about Vine and then shut it down.
That's right.
And say, good thing we bought Vine, am I right? And lo, there was a void in the hearts of many a youngster who wanted to tell very, very short-term, short-format stories. And thus,
because Instagram was a little too heavy, Instagram was busy copying Snapchat and doing stories and stuff, where people liked how short Vines had to be, 6 seconds, where Instagram could be up to a minute.
Right. And where we're at now is TikTok has filled the void, but even TikTok has a curious part of the story, because TikTok was not TikTok in the beginning. It was Musical.ly, which was dedicated to just doing lip syncing. And then they realized, oh, wait, everybody loved Vine. Nobody's doing Vine. We're going to
be Vine.
We're going to be Vine. Congratulations, we're TikTok.
Part of that is that there was another, like, TikTok was another platform, and then they bought Musical.ly, and then it was really the marriage of the two. Like, Musical.ly was its own thing that was popular, but the marriage of that with TikTok and then becoming now this new and improved version is really what kind of took it off to the next level. The fascinating thing, if we can go back to the beginning of Vine, is, if I remember correctly, was Vine an app that was about to launch and then got bought by Twitter pre-launch?
It launched, was established, became beloved, and I mean, all actions that I saw on Vine with Twitter looked an awful lot like Twitter just buying up a piece of the competition, saying it's going to be another part of the ecosystem, and then just quietly killing it. Which brings us to this moment.
So it was independent?
Oh, I'm fairly certain it was, because I remember I was already on it and I was already hustling on it it got bought by Twitter. And I remember worrying about, well, what's that going to mean for my following? Because I had like a million Vine followers, and then it got bought by Twitter.
So Wikipedia says that Vine was founded in June 2012, acquired by Twitter in October 2012, and then launched January 2013.
Wait, that can't be right.
Yeah. Which That's sounds crazy. Right. I don't remember a time where Vine was not a part of Twitter.
I remember it being it was purchased pre-launch, and so it was launched with like Twitter in mind, but
it might have launched as a standalone app and then integrated later.
That must be the moment that I was thinking of, because I enjoyed standalone experience. And then they folded it into Twitter and ruined everything. Which, by the way, I'm like the king of accruing a lot of followers on platforms that die instantly. I had like 1.6 million Google Plus followers.
Yeah, I had like
1.2 million Vine followers. And then all that just folds.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, look, man, you got it. I mean, the difference is, though, with Vine really created its own culture. You know, a lot of the people that are massive now really, really launched on Vine. And God, you know, that is something that if you are Twitter, you had the reins on and you willfully just folded it. Like, they just folded Vine for God knows what reasons. Like, that is such a weird thing, because they never really even did anything else with it.
Like, well, I think I, that there was a different division because Twitter continues to push its video platform. It's a longer format, 2 minutes long, and then there are verified folks who can post longer videos, and now they're tinkering with monetization and stuff. So it feels to me like two different divisions just, fussing about what their growth. One of them had the better growth pitch that looked like it would make money in the long term, and so that got the resources and choked out the oxygen on the other.
But I remember at the time of Vine shutting down that the conversation was, well, Twitter wasn't making money on Vine. But then everyone said, well, you never put ads on Vine. You never even tried to monetize it.
You never tried to monetize it, which, right. Like, what you did realize was that celebrities were being born here. Like, they were creating an audience, and they had survived Instagram video. Like, that was another thing that popped up, and this was pre-stories, right? But there was now all of a sudden Instagram was moving into video, and you'd be able to do it, and it wasn't just going to be pictures, but Vine survived. And I think maybe what part of the thought was is like, all right, really, like, our big thing here is 6 seconds, so if we aren't going, if the future is, and Instagram is growing because they're doing more than 6 seconds, then effectively we might as well just have Twitter video, because we'll just remove the things. Because if we remove the limit on Vine, then Vine's not Vine. Well, except they fundamentally, I think, misunderstood what the important part of Vine was, because all these people wound up going to YouTube. And now the new crop of what is happening is like the issue with Vine wasn't that you needed to keep that 6 second thing sacrosanct. You had to add the stuff that TikTok has done, which is, hey, license music, make it easier to have these filters that can gussy up the video the video itself, add little text overlays to it. Like, that's effectively what makes the TikTok medium so special.
This, stop me if you've heard this before, both of you gentlemen, because I've only said it a billion times. This is the classic story of line extension. You have a young brand, Vine, but it's owned by Twitter, and you think, well, you know, nobody really knows what a Vine is compared to, I mean, everyone knows what a Twitter is. And so you decide to lean into the bigger brand, and in so doing, you devalue the original brand. You know, Twitter means one. It used to mean one thing, 140 characters. Now it means 280 characters. Now it means videos up to 5 minutes long, and monetization, and live streams, and short form videos. And the more things something means, the more it means absolutely nothing. So, which brings us to this part of the Byte story, because I don't know, from what you've said, I don't know that I've heard this story, and I'm really curious to see how it turns out. You're saying Byte was created by the guy who created Vine.
Yes.
And it sounds like it's the exact same thing. He's just doing Vine again.
Pretty much. The interface has changed, so it's not square videos like they were on Vine. Now they are portrait 16:9 like TikTok has. It's a full screen user interface, so you're swiping through videos, not a feed of stuff. You can rebite people and share their videos with the people who are following you. Other than that, it seems like it's 6 seconds and that's it.
Can I tell you, if we could just put a pin in this conversation, let me say one thing. I'm really interested how things work out for Byte. New conversation. Did you know I had a TV show on National Geographic called Hacking the System?
I do remember that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. That ended. New fact. We launched a channel called The Modern Rogue. new story. Did you know I pitched a show to Revision 3 called Scam School? New fact. We have a new series called Scam Nation.
Sure.
Back to our conversation about Byte. Really interested to hear how it goes relaunching something.
I wonder, like, part of the problem is there is so much time between the death of Vine and the launch of what is now called Byte. Was originally going to be called V2. there's so much time and the landscape has shifted so wildly that to try to stick to the original, it's 6 seconds and that's it. To stick to that feels, it feels more than just a business, gonna end a sentence and then start a new sentence play. It feels different than what that transaction is.
And also there is this big difference because part of what makes TikTok special is that their preferred way for you to interact with it is to never make a choice as to what you're going to watch.
Right.
They're like, we know how to figure out all these, how to categorize all these kinds of videos. We know based on how long you linger and how many times it loops, how much you then like these kinds of videos. So all you ever have to do from the first moment you download the app is eventually you should make an account because you're going to get some cool things, but you are just consuming. We will give you the thing that you like, which is in a weird way, the AI version of old media, right? Like it is like, we are the gatekeeper and you are going to enjoy our curated thing for you. Whereas Byte is taking the way that it used to be, where it's like, okay, follow all your favorites. So we'll recommend people that are going to create your feed.
Weirdly, this is a recurring theme on Cord Killers, is when I gripe, one of the things I gripe constantly about is I don't want to have to choose anything. And we talked about the possibility of, you know, curated AIs that say, you know what, you don't even have to next a thing. We're just going to watch your eyes and notice, you know, we're going to monitor your heart rate, and we're going to figure it out for you what you seem to like. And in a weird way, like what we charitably call waterfall television, you know, you just want something on, you don't want to have to decide. It seems like TikTok has really figured out a bunch of that.
Yeah. I mean, when you first open the app, and like Justin was describing, you just get into it. Like you can pick topics of things that you like, but you just get into it. It doesn't ask you to sign up. It doesn't do any of that. It's just, here's a lot of stuff. Just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, which that feedback loop of watch the thing, I can either rewatch it immediately or I could just go to the next thing. Like that feedback loop is so sticky. Like it is no wonder that Byte has, that's the major difference in Byte, is that that's the UI change of doing that exact same thing. Loop video, swipe to the next video.
Do you think the...
The thing that made TikTok... So Vine to me, artistically, became what it was because the videos that would come out of there were a product of the camera. So the camera on Vine was hit a button. As long as you had your finger down, it's recording. To stop recording, you lift your finger. And so you wound up getting a lot of these reverse shot of like I'm one person. Now I'm another person. Now I'm another person. So it's like one person talking to each other was like a huge thing,
right?
Which was great. But what TikTok took to the next level was understanding, like, all right, what sucks about videos? The lighting often sucks, but it's nothing compared to the sound. Sound is amateurish. It is very hard to do good sound. And so that's where...
In the opposite, just to piggyback on that, if you have easy sound, or if you can share sounds, if you can make stuff around sounds, that makes it easier to make stuff. Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that now taking sound out of the equation, and to a certain extent taking lighting out of the equation with filters and stuff, you now all of a sudden are able to go from what would look like a very amateurish video to having it look very much more professional, much more professional, because you're able to just have the soundtracks to stuff. And
quickly.
Now that also helps virality, because now that's the meme.
Well,
the meme is...
Not just virality within the app, but also like does this content look like it could show up on SportsCenter or whatever? Like, would any of this ever show up on national television? And that's a hard no when it's just an iPhone audio and crappy lighting. But the exact same content, you know, with like you guys are saying, set around music and with a painted on Snapchat filter or whatever, totally could.
Yeah. And you know, last night, Lil Nas X won a couple Grammys, and the part of the reason why was because his song blew up on TikTok, because the viral meme was for Old Town Road, as it was a very rap song. You just have people in their regular clothes, and then it gets into this, you know, I got the horses in the back, which sounds very country, and now all of a sudden you go ahead and get into your country clothes, and now you're kind of doing a little hoedown dance, and there we go. It's like, that's one of those moments. The reason why the shot reverse shot stuff worked was because we can all kind of understand that, and we can wrap our head around these internal conversations that are going on in our heads all the time. With this, it is that to the next level of like, oh, okay, regular clothes, country clothes. We all have a little countryside, I guess. Like, that's fun. It's fun how people iterate on top of that. It's the best ideas, the best things that spread are the ones where you can get 100% of it immediately, if not on like a kind of primal level.
Right. When you see a meme, and in TikTok, the way TikTok is set up with its discovery stuff, where it just organically sends you to a lot of the same types of things, means that you can kind of understand a meme or whatever this trend is, even if you couldn't describe it. Like talking about the Old Town Road one, it's very weird to describe, like, oh, they play, sounds like a country song, but then, or it sounds like a rap song, but then the country comes in and then they're doing a line dance. Like, it's very hard to describe, and it doesn't sound very good when you hear it. But when you see it multiple times and you just get an intrinsic feeling of what it is, like, that's some high-level satisfaction in terms of feeling like you are in and understanding that community. Yeah. So with Byte, what do you guys feel... noted TikTok experts Brian and Justin, how do you feel about Byte launching now in 2020?
That was my question to you, Bryce, is okay. You noted specifically the 6-second format. Does that just straight up feel dated to you?
It's tough because it's been so long since Vine, and I feel like I was not huge on Vine at the time. I mean, lots of really great Vine stuff came out. A lot of people who were, you know, Vine stars went on and did really cool YouTube stuff. But there's so much I like about TikTok that fits in the 15-second and the 1-minute category that just wouldn't be here. So it's still early for me to try it out, and I don't know who to find. The other tough thing is discovery, right? With TikTok, you just, if it can't figure something out, it will just give you something. Where with Byte, I think it is very focused on who you're following.
And I guess that's the thing that I think TikTok was fascinating, is that it wasn't just about that community. It was about understanding where it lived in a post-social network world, right? Because Brian and I, one of our favorite kind of weekends ever was Peach Weekend. We happened to be
where we knew this thing was going to crater, but we just embraced it whole hog.
Peach is still good. You can buy Peach for like $200,000 right now.
Wait, really?
Yeah, the guy was like, it's still up, but somebody please buy it.
But that was a moment where we could get this visceral thrill, knowing that it was going to crater. We get this visceral thrill of having a bunch of people at us, right? And now we could be kings of this platform for a weekend before everybody gets bored of it. What TikTok realized was, okay, the biggest pain point for people is, well, who do I follow? And what if the people that I follow suck and they just don't post enough? And now I've gone there, I feel like an idiot for opening this app. TikTok was like, never worry about that. In fact, never worry about following people.
Yeah.
Just go and here is content. We will make sure that the best content finds you. That's our job. That's not your job.
In fact, it's like even it's even not as good following people, only because you start to see a lot of the same. Like someone does a lot of these painting videos, and then you're suddenly seeing a lot of painting videos, and you're like, "This is a lot of painting videos." But then when you just look on the For You page, which is the main thing, that stuff gets kind of it gets sifted in with between all this other external creators.
This goes back to my infatuation with the /r/all page on Reddit, where it's like I once I can smell that this feed is a bit too curated for my tastes, I'm like, no, but what's everybody watching? Or at least lie to me and tell me this is what everybody's watching.
So that's the other tough thing about TikTok. I would think if TikTok was perfect, Byte would not have any chance in January 2020. But you look at some of the issues that people have with TikTok, which is the way that it is moderated, which is kind of oblique, and because it is owned by a Chinese company, often feels oppressive in many ways, to say the least.
Overly curated, like totalitarian in that regard?
Yeah, that would be a good word for it. And so I can see people who would never have been on TikTok using Byte because it has that independence from the Chinese government or Chinese corporations, whichever slice of cake you want to call
it. It's a bit of Android versus Apple, where it's like Apple's going to guide you through everything, where Android is like, no, you can do whatever you want.
The biggest thing that I would wonder about is that at this point, TikTok to me is very far down their own road. Like the its relationship to Vine is more that, oh my God, what if Vine had just added some of these things? They could have had this, right?
Yeah.
But TikTok is now so they've done such a tremendous job of creating their own communities. Like there are videos on there, there are memes and relationships that users have with each other that simply just don't exist anywhere else. Like there's this thing. Not just music will people use. There's these random audio clips, right, of people like laughing. Or my favorite one is like, there's just this kind of stoner dude who's like, what a relaxing day. What a relaxing day. And then all of a sudden there's like, he's like, what? No, dude, what are you doing? And so it's like his friends are showing up and now they want him to party. It's like the insinuation of the video. But now you can apply that. What's a moment where you're enjoying separation and now your friends want you to be a part of, you know, something wants you to be a part of it again, right? And so the one that I thought was funniest was, you know, this like, you know, kind of stoner chick, where she's just, you know, by herself and just using the lip syncing to the track of like, what a relaxing day. And then all of a sudden it's her bong that's like, you know, there to show up. And she's like, no, dude. It's like, yeah. Like, but this is the art form. And I wonder where Byte's going to go. Yeah. Like, because there are two things that would seemingly limit it. And that is, A, they're sticking to 6 seconds. So they believe that 6 seconds is important to the art that you create on this platform. And that would seem to be opposite of where TikTok had evolved the medium. And two, that you are following people. And so now you are back into what we have on Facebook, what we have on Twitter, what we have on Instagram, where this is about followers. This is about how many people are interacting with you. And I think that's interesting. I'm curious.
Yeah. I guess we'll see how it goes over the next, I mean, few days.
20 minutes maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So yeah, there we go. Just a little bit of social media talk. Any other topics? Or should we go to picks?
No. I'm all good. I guess as far as picks, I don't think we talked about it, but I saw the movie 1917. I liked it. It was good. I liked that it was all, real time, just two people following them. It felt like you were really there the entire way through. Very simple story, very believable setting, and I liked it quite a bit.
Nice. That supposed to be is good. I hear it's very good.
I mean, it's not super groundbreaking or anything, but I liked it a lot.
Do you have a personal pick of all the Oscar movies of which one you like the best?
Fun fact, I don't even know what's nominated for an Oscar. You want to give me a rundown?
Best picture?
Yeah.
Let's see. Best picture 2020. We are looking at Ford versus Ferrari.
For best picture?
Uh-huh. The Irishman. Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, dude, give it. You can give that one. It's already got it. I don't even know what comes next, but I'll give it my best picture.
Joker.
Oh, wait. I take it back. Joker's the best picture.
Little Women.
You know what? Deserving of being in the mix. Maybe not the winner.
Marriage Story.
I hear that there's that's good.
1917.
Ooh, I didn't even know it was nominated. That's great.
Sorry. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Man, did I hate the first 80% of that movie.
And Parasite.
Parasite has a good chance. That would be an extraordinary thing for a so-called foreign language film to be best picture.
You got to pick a favorite, Bri.
I give it to Jojo Rabbit. I like that a lot.
Okay.
But I honestly,
I really wanted to see Jojo Rabbit. I'm upset that I couldn't find the time to see it.
Oh, it's just great. Justin, I think Joker might be the best crafted of those movies that I heard you say.
Oh, wow. Justin, do you have a fave?
No, I haven't seen all of them yet. Of the ones that I've seen, Irishman's fantastic, but I haven't seen 1917. Actually, no, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was my favorite.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll bet.
Hollywood might be the pick.
But also Tarantino's a fairly familiar face at the Oscars by now, so I wonder if that works against him.
Well, but he's never won Best Picture.
Ooh. But he's not.
But it's not his final movie.
Yeah, exactly. It's not
his final
minute.
Movie, but he keeps saying that like he's got maybe one more, and we don't know whether or not that one's going to be about Hollywood.
Or Star Trek.
Old Hollywood.
Well, I think he said the Star Trek one wouldn't count.
Oh, that's interesting.
I mean, he's not also going to stick to whatever he's saying. Like, that's ridiculous. But I haven't seen Marriage Story, and I will probably not see the movie about 30-somethings getting divorced with my wife. So at some point, maybe when I'm on the road, I'll quietly watch Marriage Story by myself. And I haven't seen Jojo Rabbit yet. Hopefully while I'm on the road, I'll catch up with some of these films on planes and stuff like that.
I'm so excited for both of you guys to see Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah, the only two on this list that I've seen is Once Upon a Time and Parasite. And that feels like a pretty easy pick for me towards Parasite. I mean, Once Upon a Time, that's a movie that I didn't like walking out of the theater. And the more I thought about it, I thought a lot of it was good. But I didn't love the ending. I didn't love the ending.
Oh man, that's all I loved. It's like it reminds me of the, are you familiar with the pink golf ball joke?
No.
It's a classic joke that you tell a friend and it begins with a child and long story. I won't actually do it, but the whole joke is that the kid keeps asking for his parents to give him pink golf balls all the way up until he's like 80 years old. And you go through like as many years of this kid asking for a birthday and not getting pink golf balls and as many excuses for him not to get it as you can think of. And then finally he's an old man and his grandchildren are like, oh yeah, you keep asking for the pink golf balls. Why is it? What is it about the pink golf balls? And he goes, well, I'll tell you, it's... And then he died. And then so the whole joke is you keep him on the hook as long as you can just to get to the end. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood felt a bit like a big golf ball joke to me.
I've got a little bit more appreciation for the setup, but I can certainly appreciate that read.
You got to pick, Justin?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay, there we go.
The pink golf ball joke.
The golf ball joke is my pick. Yeah.
I have a pick. So over the weekend, I did a stream here like I do a lot of times here on twitch.tv/nightattack. On Friday night, we had a friend in town, and so we had a little shindig at my place doing some Jackbox, party games on the stream. And it was set up in my living room, which is a little further from my desk than I can easily get to. But we're doing streaming and you got to hit buttons and stuff. And I actually had a good experience using the Stream Deck mobile app. So this is so Elgato makes these Stream Decks, which are these little like keypads that you can keep on your desk, and they hit buttons and they affect different things in your they affect different parts of your stream setup. They can go to scenes and affect sources. But they have an app version of it where it's about the size of that medium one that Justin has, and you can set all the buttons and do it mobile. Which helped out a lot for doing that stream. I don't know about the price. I don't feel like I love. It's $3 or $4 a month or 30.
Oh, geez. What's funny is you said $3 or $4. I'm like, that's not bad for an app. And then you said a month, and suddenly I heard $40 to $60 per year.
Right. It's like $35 or $36 to do yearly. Which I don't love that, especially given the fact that the Stream Decks, like the size of the one that Justin has, is the prices on those have come down a little bit to the $100, $200 range. Having a remote control for it was nice, but the price is a little steep where I would only want to do it. I would only want to subscribe to it when I knew I needed that mobility. But I think it worked really well. So that's my experience. The Elgato Stream Deck Mobile.
Cool.
All right, well, for Justin Robert Young and Brian Rushwood, I'm Bryce Castillo. This has been After Things. It's been after.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.